Welcome back, everyone, to the next episode of the Heartbeat Podcast. My name is Kelly. I'm sitting here with Jamie. How are you, Jamie?
Doing okay. Thanks, good. Kelly.
Thank you for joining us. Today, we just want to unpack one of our favourite MAG chapters of the Bible, Colossians chapter 3. The conversations come out of us, as we mentioned in the last podcast, really being keen to get some training happening in MAG, getting people together, but also balancing that with the fact that people are really time poor. So today's podcast episode, it's a bit of a blend of a Bible talk that Jamie had prepared for a face-to-face training and conversations that we've had around this chapter in the meantime. So today is a bit of a hybrid of those two things. Yeah, I'm going to begin by just reading Colossians 3 from verse 1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Thanks, Kelly, for reading out that awesome passage for us from the Bible. So here comes the kind of intro to the Bible talk that I had in mind for our magnification teams from our churches. And even as I wrote it a while back, I thought it was a bit of a strange one, but I hope you'll come with me. Harry Potter spent 11 years of his life acting like he was a nobody. He dressed in his older cousin's oversized hand-me-downs. He tried to keep to himself at school because who would want to be friends with the school bully's little cousin? But of course, there was a hidden reality to Harry's life, a reality that became apparent in that famous phrase, "You're a wizard, Harry." That's right. And a famous one at that. Turns out Harry wasn't destined to be a nobody at all. And once he accepted that reality, there was no going back for Harry. The tragedy of the Christian life is that we can forget the hidden reality of our lives. Not that we can do magic, and I'm sorry if that's disappointing, but actually, an even better and more solid reality, and Paul puts it this way in the passage that Kelly just read out. In verse 1, Paul says, "You have been raised with Christ." Verse 3, "You died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." And our destiny, verse 4, "When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." And it's worth us just kind of pausing as we listen together to just sit with how huge that is.
Yeah. All right. So how does this Harry Potter story relate to us as believers?
Well, just like there was a hidden reality to Harry Potter's life, I think Paul is saying there's a hidden reality true of every Christian, and it's this. Not that we will one day be raised with Christ, but that we already have been. Because our old selves, the selves that were alienated from God and raging enemies of Him, that self has died. Our sins have been nailed to the cross, and we bear them no more. And our lives are now hidden with Christ. There is a human physically in heaven right now, the man Jesus Christ, sitting at God's right hand, and by His Spirit, our lives are there with Jesus right now. And one day we will physically and visibly be there with Jesus too. But even now, as you listen to this podcast, that's the reality. It's a hidden reality. Not that we're wizards, but that we are with Christ. And I'd say that not many of us, definitely I don't all the time, live out this truth. It's easy, isn't it, to kind of forget that hidden reality. Kelly, why do you reckon we settle for the kind of early Harry Potter way of life instead?
I think it's easy to slip into a life where we live as though we're the nobodies. We kind of trudge along daily doing the right things because we know we should, but at the same time trying not to stand out too much in the world because, who would want to hear the gospel? But it'd just be so sad if we gave up the fight with sin thinking that our old selves have already died. But it would also just be so sad if we live like death was the end. And the best you can hope for in life is that we just get a little bit of further ahead ourselves than of others. I feel like living out our true identity would just be so much better. Jamie, please tell me there are answers in this passage in Colossians 3 that will help us achieve this with God's help.
Yeah, absolutely, Kelly. I reckon Paul is writing to smash that kind of false narrative in Colossians 3. And we're going to work through these great verses together and asking what they tell us about the ministry that we're all trying to do in magnification. So the first thing that I think Paul gives us in verses 1 to 4 of that passage is our gigantic vision as mag teams. So here's the gigantic vision, aligning hearts and minds with reality. So Paul urges the Colossians to bring their thinking and their longing into line with that glorious hidden reality. There's no going back once you realize that your life is hidden in Christ. So Paul says in verse 1, set your hearts on things above where Christ is. And in verse 2, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. So in verse 1, Paul's focusing on what we're seeking in life, what we yearn for and strive for, what we worry about. If we've been raised with Christ, then the logical thing to do is to start yearning for our heavenly home, to store up treasure there in the decisions we make here on earth. And when life on earth is hard, rather than kind of dropping our necks and focusing on what we can control as we trudge along, we can lift our eyes and long for the day Jesus returns. Verse 2 is more about our thinking. You know, what dominates our planning? What stories do we tell ourselves about the meaning of life? Once you know Jesus, it's got to be the gospel, right? But in the grind of life on earth, we need help with that, don't we? Otherwise, I don't think Paul would have written these words. So can I say that's our big vision as MAG teams. We want to see hearts and minds aligned more and more with that great reality. We want to know it ourselves, and we want to see those in our churches setting their hearts on things above. As people serving on MAG teams, let me say we, those listening, we have a particular opportunity in the body of Christ to be the people who really, really care both about our thinking and our feeling. It's pretty clear that Paul sees our longing and our learning as two deeply related things, both of which need to be shaped by reality. But I think it's fair to say we live in a culture that often sees a divide between thinking and feeling. You know, my heart says this and my head says that. We don't want to be churches that are just all about head knowledge, about maybe having an awesomely correct doctrinal statement, but with no real impact on how we live. That kind of knowledge isn't really knowledge at all, because if you really know the gospel, then it's going to have you seeking after the things above. If you really understand the doctrine of sin and forgiveness, then it should probably leave you in tears, right? Or, you know, whatever the equivalent is for your personality type. On the flip side, we don't want to be churches that are all about having an emotional experience, like a kind of spiritual high that sees you through Monday and then kind of fades away by Friday, ready for a top-up on Sunday.
Yeah. I love that Paul specifically mentions both the heart and the mind. It's our mindset and our yearning. He knows we're whole beings, and we can't put all of our time and attention into one and neglect the other.
Yeah, totally. Our job as MAG teams is to see hearts and minds aligned with reality, which is a pretty gigantic vision.
Huge. All right, so surely in a MAG-related podcast, we can just jump straight to how we can sing and pray in our Sunday gatherings so that God's word is brought to bear in our lives. Is that the magic key that unlocks how our team members and congregations get all things aligned?
I was kind of hoping that's where the talk might go next as I was writing this Bible talk. I kind of want to move from that awesome vision to then, how do we sing and pray as MAG teams to enable the word of Jesus to be heard? But slightly inconveniently for us, that's not where Paul goes in the passage yet. So in verse 5, the first way this vision plays out is actually in how we live. And really, all the way up to verse 14, it's all about taking off the old hand-me-downs, to come back to the early Harry Potter image, the old, you know, habits of anger and lying and sexual immorality, and putting on the new clothes that Jesus gives us. And actually, as much as I feel like that's inconvenient for my talk outline, that's totally not a tangent for us as MAG teams, is it? It's actually central to our ministry together. We are a group of people who are often up the front or serving in behind the scenes, yet kind of in a circle of church life kind of ways. And that means our example matters deeply. I think this is the challenge that this inconvenient chunk of the passage throws up for us as teams. The way we treat each other matters just as much as the things we say and sing up the front. You know, the way we walk together is just as important as how good the mix is, the way the band members listen to each other and accommodate for each other in practice is just as important as how moving the arrangement is. So here's verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you.
Yeah, as I've thought about this more closely, I think if we were to see ourselves as the influencers in the church, and I use the inverted commas motion there, to maybe borrow some language from social media, I think this is really key. As you said, we are up the front. We're doing ministry in the spotlight, quite literally. for us to be aware that people are watching us matters. We can't really be smiling and singing joyfully, but known as rude and difficult to work with, or self-centered with priorities that don't align with the Word of God. Our lives need to line up with how we lead the gathering to worship Christ and engage genuinely in worship.
Mm. And I reckon the person who often feels this the most is the proclaim person.
Oh, that poor proclaimer. Yeah.
And I reckon especially at about 9:45 a.m. on a Sunday. Yeah. You know, the band practice is running late and you can see the guitarist getting a bit cranky with the drummer as you get the laptop set up. The singer rushes up and wants you to stop whatever you're doing to check the song words. And then just, you know, hypothetically, in waltzes the preacher, also in a mad rush, you know, I need this picture inserted for my sermon. And then when that hurried upload doesn't quite work and the slide doesn't come up in the sermon, everyone turns around and looks at you as if it's your fault. We've got to love our proclaim people. That is just a sample, though, I think, of some of the reasons we might have to show a bit of extra patience and forbearance to each other in mag teams. All that to say, our manner matters to God. We don't want to just make kind of what happens up the front of church look smooth. We want to be people who model what it looks like to have our hearts and minds set on things above. In the weekly hiccups and hurries of the mag team life, we can honour Jesus by being compassionate towards each other.
This can be tough though, right? I'm so thankful that Paul actually gives us directives, the writer Paul, on how we should behave and conduct ourselves towards one another. Bearing in mind that this is not just for the Sundays either. There's so much more to glean from this passage, including taking a closer look at my very favourite mag verse, Colossians 3:16. We would love you to join us for part two of this chat. But in the meantime, please be considering what we've talked about today. It's a heart check. Does your life and manner line up with the message of the gospel? Are you asking God regularly to help you eliminate that lingering sin from your life? Are you depending on Him with the help of the Holy Spirit to help cultivate your love for your brothers and sisters? Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.